So 15 years ago, exactly, I did not wake up feeling like a patriot. My heart was not bursting with proud feelings of being a citizen of the United States. I did not wake up feeling like I wanted to make more sacrifices to show my love for my country. I didn't wake up thinking that being a citizen of the United States was such a tremendous blessing. But that's how I went to bed. And if you guys, if you were alive for 9/11, you probably feel the same way, that you woke up that morning not necessarily thinking at all about what a blessing it was to be a citizen of the United States of America. You weren't thinking about buying an American flag and flying it from your house. You weren't thinking about how you were willing to sacrifice, if necessary, to make this country be a safe place for us to raise our families and to continue to be the kind of country that welcomes anybody that wants to be here. We didn't wake up on 9/11 thinking about the blessings of democracy, the blessings that we've received, or the blessings that continue to be an open invitation to anyone who wants to come and be a citizen, that the blessings of democracy are not just for citizens of the United States, but they're for anyone who would come and join us in being a citizen of this wonderful country. We didn't wake up on September 11th, 2001, thinking like patriots. We didn't, but we went to bed thinking like patriots. We went to bed thinking about representing our country. We went to bed thinking about what can we do. If there's a sacrifice that we can make, we'll make it. We went to bed thinking about how can we display our like-mindedness and share the joys and the blessings that we took for granted in the morning, but we didn't take for granted when we went to bed. And so this morning, I want to begin a series, and we're going to take a tour, a narrative tour, through the book of Ephesians to try and wrestle with this concept, because we think about church membership the same way. You probably didn't come to church this morning saying, man, I feel like a church member. If there was a way that I could make a sacrifice to serve my church even more, there's a way, then I want to do it. I want to talk to Josh this morning and get one of those plastic River Church signs and stick it out by my mailbox. You probably didn't wake up this morning feeling that way about your involvement in a local church. Sure, you know, glad that you're a Christian, glad that you're a person of faith, glad that you have an opportunity to worship the Lord in a place that He has provided. But my hope is that, maybe not tonight, but maybe by the end of the month or so, in the few weeks that we have to cover the book of Ephesians, that we'll begin to feel more and more that our membership in a local church is an important thing. It's a blessing. It's something to be excited about, and it's something that we are going to be exploring over the next few weeks as we move through the book of Ephesians. Even as there is a wide welcome and every promised blessing of democracy for those who would choose to become citizens of the United States, there is a wide welcome to the gospel of Jesus Christ and a promise of every blessing in the heavenly places for those who would accept that promise. If you become a citizen of the United States, then you're welcome to participate in our democracy, and with it comes blessings. If you make a decision of faith and you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are then given every blessing that God has to give so that your faith might be strengthened in and through a local church. Take a look with me, if you would, at this passage found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Ephesians, and we're going to be taking a look at a few verses in the first chapter of Ephesians. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens." I doubt you woke up this morning and thought, "I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens." That probably wasn't a thought that occurred to you this morning. You probably did not look in the mirror and say, "Wow, I am so glad that God has given me every spiritual blessing that He can possibly give me." In fact, if we were to even think about that phrase, what on earth? Okay, so now you know. You have been, you made a decision of faith, you became a Christian, you're following the Lord. Guess what? You have every spiritual blessing, every blessing that God can give you, you have. Yay. Do you feel any different? Did anything happen? No? Angels, music, trumpets, horns, lights, anything? No. Because we don't even know what that means. And so kind of like how 9/11 woke us up. We woke up not feeling like a patriot, but we went to bed feeling like a patriot. And that feeling has not gone away. Even so, as Christians, we kind of need to explore, what does it mean that God has given us every single spiritual blessing in the heavens? Because it honestly, it doesn't really do a whole lot for us unless we have a process by which we can explore what this means. And then our understanding is going to grow and our faith is going to be strengthened. And so we've developed a process. It's a short class that we're going to begin offering here in a few weeks, and it's called The River. That's the process. It's called The River, and it's a means by which people can explore and then become members of River Church. The first step in this process we're calling the life jacket, and it's very simple. The most important thing that River Church could ever provide for anybody who would ever visit us or attend here is an understanding of salvation, because first and foremost, becoming a person of faith and meeting Jesus Christ and having a relationship with God the Father that's defined by the power of the Holy Spirit is much bigger than any particular church. And so like a life jacket, were you to go on a journey by a river, a canoe trip, if you will, and you were to fall out of the canoe or decide that you didn't even want to be in a canoe, that you just wanted to throw yourself into the river of life, if you've got a life jacket on, you're fine. You're fine. Some canoes are red, some canoes are green, some canoes fit two people, some canoes fit six. There's all kinds of different ways, there's all kinds of different churches, if you will, that people can join. And so we'll be talking about that later on. But the most important part, the best thing that we can provide for you as a church is an assurance of salvation. Do you have your life jacket on? Do you know what it means to be a Christian? Do you have an understanding of every spiritual blessing that you have been blessed with? Because whether you go to church here or somewhere else, you need to have that life jacket on. You need to have that life preserver on. And so the first idea or the first class that we're going to be offering in this membership journey called The River is a life jacket. Is that, I thought it was clever. Is it a little clever? It's not bad? Is it resonating a little bit? Okay. Yeah. So it's, and we're hoping that, you know, through the artwork and the idea that it's memorable so that as time goes forward, all of us feel comfortable talking about the process by which we become a member of River Church and why it's even important. So the first step in that process is this idea of salvation, assurance of salvation. What does it mean that God has given us every spiritual blessing? And so this morning, we're going to take just a couple of minutes and we're going to look at what the Bible says, because Paul goes on to give us some help in talking about what these spiritual blessings are that he gave us. So join me here in continuing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we find this. For he, God, chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. One of the spiritual blessings that we have when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith is that it becomes evident to us that this is something God has desired for us our whole life. He's been waiting for us to make this decision because he has a desire to see us as holy and blameless in his sight. There are some things about which I'm hard to please. There are some things about which my wife is hard to please. Now I have your attention. There we go. That's the illustration I need to move forward with right there. Were you to make something for my wife that is made out of chocolate? That's a good idea in general. If it is white chocolate, that is a fail. There's no such thing as white chocolate. It's not even chocolate. Bless your heart. If you were to give my wife white chocolate, she would smile, she would be polite, because her mommy raised her well, but she would not eat it. In fact, no one in our family would. We would give it to the Thompsons, who happen to love white chocolate. Should you make my wife something out of chocolate that was made out of milk chocolate? Okay, that's better. You're in the right direction. It at least started its life as a chocolate bean, right? Milk chocolate's not bad. It serves its purpose. S'mores are the primary one, of course. If you really want to make my wife happy by giving her chocolate, because of her discernment in this area, because of her perception in this area, because of her desire in this area, it needs to be dark chocolate, 97% and above. You would actually make my wife happier giving her a teaspoon of baking cocoa than white chocolate. Have you ever tried baking chocolate? Have you ever just taken a nibble or a taste of baking chocolate? It's really good. That's my wife's perception. Dark chocolate. Dark chocolate. Because anything else in her view, anything else in her sight, fails to meet the mark. 96, 97%. That's the mark. Holy and blameless in God's sight. That's not something we can come up with on our own. That's not a measure that we can meet on our own. And yet the scripture says part of every blessing that we've received in the heavenly places is that in God's sight, holy and blameless. Something we can't even provide on our own. He chose us. He set us apart for. He determined that his people in his sight, because of the powerful death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, which the text goes on to be very clear about. We're not going to cover it today, but that's why. Is given to us. That's encouraging. Because there are days that we wake up and do not feel holy and blameless in his sight. Not by a long shot. And we feel like there's nothing we can do to become holy and blameless in his sight. And we are dead right. And so the good news that one of our spiritual blessings is that we have been chosen by God to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's encouraging. Feels like a life jacket. Feels like something that can keep you safe in turbulent waters. Feels like something that will give you encouragement when you're going under. Feels like something that will keep you dry when you're wet, right? Holy and blameless in God's sight. It's not something you did. It's not something I did. It's something that he did to meet his standard, and he is pleased to give that to us. Awesome. Continuing here in verse 5, in love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us within the beloved. In love, he predestined us. He chose us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will. In love. In love. In love for us. In love for the glory of his name. In love for others who see how God is beginning to work through us. This choosing to be holy and blameless in his sight is not so that we can be people who condemn and look down on others. And take pride in the status that God has given us. It's in love so that God can draw other people to himself. It's in love for us so that we don't have to be separated from him. This, another aspect of the spiritual blessing, is that he chose us in love to be adopted for himself. He wants you. He wants you not only to be holy and blameless, but because he loves you, he just wants you to be known by his name. And so he's adopted you, changed your name, calls you by his name, a Christian, right? This is a spiritual blessing that God has given us in the heavens. It's something that we struggle to understand now, but in heaven, it's a fact right now. And we'll catch up to that fact when we get there. But I'll tell you right now, it's like a life jacket. That'll keep you afloat, knowing that God has called you in love to be known by his name, chosen, holy and blameless in his sight, and in love, predestined to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself because he just wants you close. It's according to, at the end of the verse, it says, his favor and will. Again, it's not, as much as we want to be people of faith, as much as we want to experience the blessings of God, he wants it even more than we do. This idea of salvation is his idea. This offering of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is his idea. And it's determined by his love. That's pretty cool. This sure beats a sermon about hell, right? I mean, that was a pretty good sermon too, because we never talk about it in church. But this is what I'm talking about. This is good. And that's the whole idea of a membership process, is that membership begins with understanding your relationship with God, my relationship with God. In love, predestined. Moving on to verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us within the beloved. Why would God do all of this stuff? Because he is gracious. This is something that he does out of his kindness, that he offers salvation. It's just like the United States. One of the things that makes this country great, one of the things that we went to bed proud about, is that it is a wide path to democracy and all the blessings that come from it. That's a very gracious position. And of course, it's being challenged. There's people who want to violate that grace, that want to merit the benefits of democracy without going through the process of citizenship, and there's good reasons for that, or so they think. And I mean, good night. This is a political hot potato, and that's not what this is about at all. But it is a good metaphor, because America at its best is a wide opportunity for the blessings of democracy. Salvation is a wide opportunity for the blessings of spiritual blessings that we receive in the heavenly places. Why? Because of God's grace. It's just who he is. It's something that he wants to make available through his grace and his kindness. Verse 7, continuing to explore the blessings that we've been given, we have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of that grace, we have forgiveness. You know, we've experienced the challenge of forgiveness any number of times. You get into a discussion with your spouse, which turns into a heated discussion, which sometimes can turn into a fight, and you have your fight, and the issue gets resolved one way or the other, and then a little bit of time goes by, and you realize you're a tool. You realize that at some part in that conversation, you overstepped what was right. You overstepped your authority, you overstepped the bounds of love, you were impolite, possibly you used cursing language, and you were wrong in your rightness. Sometimes that happens. You were right about the thing, but you were wrong in how you presented it to your spouse. Sometimes you were just wrong. And all of us have that moment where, whether it's a few minutes after the conversation or in the middle of the conversation or a day or so after the conversation, you realize that you were a tool. You realize that you were either wrong in your rightness or you were just flat out wrong. And so, you apologize. And you ask your spouse's forgiveness. And because they're a kind person and because they love you, they extend their forgiveness. Who still feels unforgiven? You do. Why? You haven't forgiven yourself. You wish you could go back in time and take those words back. You wish you could go back in time and take that behavior back. You wish you could go back in time and just have a do-over. Not because your spouse is holding it against you. They've moved on. This isn't the first time it's happened. They learned a long time ago that if they're going to stay in love with you, that they have to forgive and let some of this stuff go. But we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We love to replay it in our minds and not forgive ourselves. Hence the power of this verse. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, fancy word for sin, according to the riches of his grace. God's forgiveness is linked to his grace. which is linked to his love, which is linked to his son. So when we say it's powerful, that's like a gross understatement. That God's forgiveness is actually able to bring peace into situations that we love to beat ourselves up over. As a Christian, wouldn't it be helpful to know that even when our spouse forgives us, even when our boss forgives us, even when our coworkers forgive us, for those times when we crossed the bounds or the boundaries of love or even politeness, that forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness so powerful that it's actually linked to the creator of the universe. And even knowing that, sometimes it takes some time to allow that reality to sink down into our own hearts and minds because we love to hold on to that. We love to beat ourselves up. But doesn't that help knowing you can cling to it like a life jacket? As long as it's on, you don't even have to agree or like the life jacket. It will keep you afloat. It's designed to keep your head out of water until further help can come. Knowing that God's forgiveness is available and that it's there, linked to his love, linked to his grace, linked to every spiritual blessing, it's like a life jacket. And sometimes we just need to bob down the river until we allow that reality to sink in. Wouldn't it be helpful as a person of faith to really understand the depths of God's forgiveness that he extends towards us? And then finally this morning in verse 8, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. What does the word lavished mean? Lavished is like whipped cream to my ice cream. If you've ever had ice cream with me, I kind of like 75% whipped cream and 25% ice cream. In fact, if it would work, I'd put ice cream in the bowl and then just cover a little bit of whipped cream on, or put whipped cream in the bowl and cover it with just a little bit of ice cream. Lavished is like whipped cream to my ice cream, right? Lavished is like us with our little kids. You can't kiss them enough. They're so adorable. In fact, they're so adorable, we say, I could eat you up. That's disgusting. But we feel that way. We can't kiss them enough. They're just so everything. And so we lavish them with our attention. We lavish them with our love. So has our Heavenly Father. He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The challenge this morning is not that we weren't chosen, not that we aren't loved, not that we haven't received God's grace, not that we haven't received God's forgiveness, not that he doesn't lavish his affection on us. The problem is one of wisdom and understanding. We either knew it and we forgot it, or we never really knew it. Not the way we really need to know it. Not the way Paul's talking about that we need to know it. And so we appreciate life vests. We agree in general that life jackets are good things that should be worn on any canoe trip, but we don't fully appreciate them until they've been tested. And so Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, where we begin this conversation of the fact that membership matters, is that the first step of a membership process is understanding, here's something that I said last week. I said it's not about us, right? It's not about River Church. It's about how fast and how much we can give to others so that they too might know. But in order for it to not be about us, it kind of needs to be about us for a little bit. We kind of need to know what we have to offer. During lifeguard training, this was something that I thought was interesting. The golden rule of lifeguard training was never, ever, 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 ever go into the water without your rescue tube. Why? If you respond to someone who is drowning without your rescue tube, you're not the first responder, you're the second victim. Have you guys heard that? That's good, right? If you try to save someone who is drowning, even if you're a lifeguard, even if you're, you know, a good swimmer, because of the violence that is in the process of drowning, it's a messy process. They're going to kick, they're going to hit, they're not going to be compliant, they're not going to be helpful. In fact, the best way to save someone who's drowning is let them pass out and then drag them to the shore. That way they won't drag you down and kick you and hurt you too. But if you jump into the water, try and save someone who is drowning without your rescue tube, you're not the first responder, you're the second victim, right? And so in order for it to not be about us, it kind of has to be about us a little bit. We have to have our life jackets on. We need to understand every spiritual blessing that our Father has provided us in the heavens. Otherwise, we hold on to what he's given us like this. But if we really understand what he's given us, then we just can't give it away fast enough because we know that there's more where that came from. And so hence the importance of having a membership process, and hence the importance of a membership process that begins with understanding our salvation and what God has provided for us. So I didn't wake up feeling particularly patriotic on September 11th, 2001. Part of the reason that I felt so patriotic by the end of the day, part of the reason that I, if there was anything I could give to the United States of America to serve her in her time of need, was just, I felt it so passionately, as we all did. But part of the reason why it was so personal for me, what maybe you guys don't know because we're all still getting to know each other, is that I was a commercial airline pilot on September 11th. I was operating for Delta Airlines. I was flying jets around the country. I was on an overnight. The flight attendant rang the phone in my room, woke me up. Josh, get up, turn on the TV. And then like you, I watched the second tower get hit. And then like you, I was glued to the TV. The difference was, it really felt personal to me. I wasn't asking to be put on the front lines of this. I wasn't asking for a career that now was going to be defined by questions of whether or not I could carry a handgun in the cockpit. I didn't choose a career that had bulletproof doors that could only be locked from the inside. That's not the way it was. And so my life changed. My wife was the one getting phone calls from friends and family wondering if I was okay. And I was. I was stuck in Burlington, Vermont for 3 days. Who wants to be? Everybody wants to be stuck in Burlington, Vermont for 3 days. That was, hey man, there's worse ways to be stuck. But the feeling of helplessness, the feeling that if I could do anything to serve my country. So we spent the afternoon sitting down at a restaurant on the lake that's right by Burlington, Vermont. And there's an Army Reserve unit there. And we listened to the F-18s take off all afternoon. The Green Mountain Boys, the reserve unit based out of Burlington. I'd thought about taking the military route to learn how to fly airplanes. That wasn't the way I ended. But I knew that in real short order, I could be one of those guys. Could I help? I had a skill set. And I wanted to give it to my country in a way that I never wanted to before. Because it was very personal to me. And so, probably didn't wake up this morning thinking about, man, I really want to be a member of a local church. I really want to find ways that I can give more to my local church. I really want to identify a path by which I can be known by my local church. Probably didn't feel that way. But it's my hope that as we journey through the book of Ephesians, not through a process like we went through on 9/11, where our blessings were challenged because of an attack on innocent civilians, but rather through an exploration of the scripture of the blessings that God has made available to us, that we would have the wisdom and understanding that Paul says we need. It is unbelievable how God has motivated and blessed his people, first personally, but then to be used as vessels to pour into our community. Without taking time to really look into the scripture and going through a membership process like this, it's possible that we will walk through our Christian experience not understanding the love that he has for us, the grace that he has for us, the forgiveness that he has for us, the power that he has for us, and we'll be stingy with our love. And so a membership process will help inform our faith, help us have new assurance of our life jacket, so it can be about something other than us. So it's not about us, but at least for a little while, it kind of needs to be about us so that we can identify and move forward together as members, as a local church. As we'll see, this is exactly what God has intended. And so by way of application this morning, maybe this message of salvation is something that means something very personal to you, and you need to have a little time of prayer and thank the Lord for what he's offered to you and in appreciation after looking at his word. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you didn't realize all the blessings that came with it. Kind of like on 9/11, you woke up and didn't realize all the blessings that come with being an American citizen until you kind of got educated a little bit. This morning, you got educated a little bit, and wow, I need to make a decision of faith. I'd encourage you to do so this morning. If it would encourage you, while we're singing, you can always come and pray with me. You can pray with someone that you've been in a small group with. You can pray with a family member. Or you can just pray by yourself. But we're going to have an opportunity to spend just a moment directing our attention to the Lord and thanking him for the blessings that he has made available to us. And if those blessings aren't yours, please pray a prayer of salvation and make those blessings your own this morning. Would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Your word says stuff that we would never write about ourselves. We would never talk about you lavishing your attention on us. We would never talk about the depth of your forgiveness being linked to your love, being linked to your grace, being linked to your son. We would never presume upon you in that way. And yet, this is something that you have freely offered us. Father, I pray that our understanding of the blessings that you have given us would be strengthened this morning. And I pray, Father, for those who need to make a decision of salvation, that they just simply cry out to you and say, yes, please. We ask these things in Jesus' name.